desire, slip into something comfortable.
So I always loved the Radiators because I just thought they were just the ultimate pub rock band. You know, they just tour up and down the East Coast every summer. And I don't think the other guys had even really heard the Radiators' big album. But my brother had it when we were growing up. So yeah, we did Coming Home by the Radiators, but we liked to try and. We rearranged that song massively. It didn't really sound like the Radiators version at all by the time we'd finished with it.
Welcome back to Foves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and today we are very lucky to be joined by Jared. Hello, Jared.
Hi, John. How are you going?
Very good. Listeners, we have two Jareds. This is the second Jared from the great state of South Australia. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yep, Adelaide.
So I can only assume right now you're leaning against a Stobie pole under a Pilates sign, drinking a Farmers Union iced coffee and thinking about Tony Modra, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, don't forget the Hills Hoist as well.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I assume New South Wales or something, yeah. Wow.
Oh, supposedly a South Australian invention.
You've heard it here, folks. Up today, Jared, thank you for joining us. What song are we reviewing?
Yeah, so it's Coming Home.
Wow. Indeed. Second track off the Sunbury 97 single, released ahead of Lazy Highways sometime late 97. They'd record a lot of covers for the singles, B-sides for this album, but the last time they'd actually released a cover, I think, is in the Dress Up EP, where they covered those Pray TV and Glory Box songs. This is a Radiator song. But over to you. What do you think of this song, Jared? Do you like it? Do you like the original? What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, sure. Well, but I do like the song. But full disclosure, though, I hadn't actually heard this particular Bovis track beforehand. So it was actually quite good, because it was a good opportunity to be able to, you know, as a long-time Bovis fan, you know, listen to something that I hadn't heard before, and, you know, maybe with a bit of a fresh perspective. And, you know, so that was a, you know, good opportunity to do that. And so I guess my first impression was quite a simple song, I found. You know, there's a lot of simplicity there, just in the structure, and just the, you know, it's played kind of straight. And look, I didn't know it was a cover either. and so that was interesting when I had asked you about it, and you told me, you know, yeah, when I first heard it, I could tell something was different. And so, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, what is this? It's not quite the same kind of songwriting. And so then when, you know, you said, oh, look, this is a cover of Radiators, I'm like, oh, that must be it. I think it's, look, I can understand why it's a B-side and maybe didn't make it onto an album. It's maybe not the, you know, the peak of their creativity, but look, yeah, it's got a sort of cool attitude to it.
To this date, they've never had a cover on an album proper. But yeah, lyrically, it's not the sort of lyric that Coxie would write at all, like a romance. I'm coming home, baby. I'm coming home. I won't be long. Obviously, Coxie doesn't have those sort of cliched, stereotypical rock song lyrics about a girl and a boy. He doesn't have them in his oeuvre. I'd never heard of the Radiators either, really. But yeah, have you had a chance to listen to the original? Did you find it interesting?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've really liked the original, actually. I think it's a great song. Yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. And yeah, I did a little bit of research into the Radiators, and you know, I can see maybe why they were chosen. I can see some parallels maybe between the Radiators and the Fogues, and you know, they're both being a sort of pub rock type of band. You know, not you know, it's slightly popular, but you know, not that well known, and you know, working and enduring and going for a long time. Because I think the Radiators were even, you know, still doing gigs up into the 2000s for different things here and there. I've from when I started uncovering a bit more about them, I could see a lot of sort of similarities there. So maybe that's, you know, Coxie might have, you know, felt some, you know, could relate to it in some way. That might have been one of the reasons behind choosing it.
Yeah, very possibly. When we interviewed him, he said that it was ironic that he chose this song. Like, he is, you know, he had the album and it left an impression on him when he was, I think it came out in 79, 80, so when he's 12 or 13, and his brother had it. So he was familiar with this band, the Radiators. I've just got a little quote here from someone anonymous. They said, "I'm not surprised the Fogues covered it. It's ironic because the Radiators have a reputation for being a sub-average band who just kept going. So I suppose the Fogues could see the humour in relation to themselves."
Yeah, well, that's what I meant, like about the, you know, like an enduring kind of band, you know, perhaps in the face of not really breaking it to the real big time, you know, just keep plugging away, and even in, you know, semi-success, if that's what you want to call it, you know, that's still that's what you're doing, that's what you love, and you keep working hard and you just keep going. And so, yeah, I think I can, you know, understand, you know, where that might be referring to.
Because did you buy the Sunbury single? I didn't have it till just a few years ago. I've never had the original Sunbury 97 single.
No, I hadn't had that single.
And I don't think Coming Home's on Prefer Others, but I should have checked that before we started recording. Okay. So I didn't really hear it that often. On their website in the early 2000s, they had a whole lot of other B-sides before they came up with Prefer Others, and I think that's where downloaded it. And I knew something was different because I didn't have the – before eBay and everything or Google, I didn't really notice, oh, in brackets, it's written by someone other than Cox and Leonard. So I always assumed this wasn't a weird original until I got the internet developed and I could see the credits and people saying it's a Radiators song. I don't know. I mean, I like this song, but Because on the other singles we get stuff like Marijuana Is God's Currency and 74 anymore, I just see it as like a wasted opportunity for like getting some of Coxie's acoustic demos that we love so much.
Okay.
No, I just would have ditched all the, I don't know. Obviously, we're coming out of the covers, so I don't know. Is it a wasted opportunity? Shouldn't bigger bands be covering Fove songs, not the other way around, in a perfect world?
Yeah, perhaps in a perfect world. I see what you mean. Like, there's maybe a little bit more sort of value in the creativity of doing, you know, just only originals. But, you know, I think if they're inspired enough to, you know, recreate something that they love, then you think, you know, fair enough. But, you know, I might even be a little bit, you know, critical of what I thought of this track, because I think it did lack a little bit of the sort of the spark of what, you know, a lot of folks. Yeah. And it does throw in a like Fovesy type chord here and there. And I can't help but think that it sounds like it's an afterthought. They had this very simple, straight song that really wasn't very Fovesy, and they've kind of maybe just gone, oh, yeah, let's chuck a Fovesy chord in here and that kind of thing.
I think you are referring to the comfortable bit, yeah? The original goes comfortable up and sort of like a churchy type inflection, but they're going comfortable. You mean?
Yeah, that's a noticeable step down. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I think some of the simplicity of it, is what's, you know, missing some of that magic. And they slowed it down as well from the original, and because the original was like almost a little bit punky, I thought, it's, you know, just kind of played straight and fast,
It's shiny, and the guitar at the start of the original is sort of dick, 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 very good tone, mid tone, punky sort of attack. Dick, 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 dick. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so it did give it a very different feel, by slowing it down, and you know, in the verses it just has that one chord that just rings out, and a lot more stripped back kind of thing. I think, you know, the simplicity of it works, I think, when it is a high energy sort of punky song, but you then strip it back and become slow, and then I don't know, maybe it's just slow and simple. But
are we approaching the D word?
The D word.
Dirge. Nuts. We use that adjective a lot. For the nerds, the original clocks in at 3 minutes and 8 seconds, whereas this is, as you say, longer, 3 minutes 49. And although the chords are sort of ringing out, it just gives it a hint that maybe they've made a few major chords out of minor chords out of major, I should say.
The Radiators signed with WEA Records in 1979 and issued their debut single, Coming Home, in the September. Let's have a listen now, and we'll be back to speak some more with Jeff, the bass man, after this.
Unlock the door and light the fire. My head is filled with sweet desire. Slip into something comfortable. Now you don't have to fly so low. Don't have to eat or sleep alone. I'm making my way home to you. Don't worry, it's alright. I'll be coming home to see you tonight. Don't worry, it's okay, I'll be coming home to see you today. Just telephoned ahead to say, this boy of yours, is I okay? No need for tears, I'm on my way. Too many weeks I've had to hide, my face is I tore up inside. No need to fear, I'm home to stay. Don't worry, it's alright, I'll be coming home to see you tonight. Don't worry, it's okay, I'll be coming home to see you today. I'll be coming home to you.
I'm coming home, babe.
I'm coming home.
alright. I'll be coming home to see you tonight. Don't worry, it's okay. I'll be coming home to see you today. Don't worry, it's alright. I'll be coming home to see you tonight. Don't worry, it's okay. I'll be coming home to see you, coming home to see you.
I don't know, man. Do you want to go through the music or the lyrics first?
Oh, you go through the music. Yeah, why not? I was speaking a little bit about that. We'll keep going with it.
All right, my notes here said, as you're right, it's slower. My second note, dot point two, I said, I don't miss the keys from the original, which is good. Okay. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Later on this single, there's the cover of Rain by Dragon. And I think that song really, the signature part of that song is the keyboard. That's a happening thing. And they sort of, we'll talk about that later. Was here, yeah. I don't mind. It's been rearranged well without the keyboards.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I kind of felt like, I mean, in the verse, you know, when that one chord just rings out, I think they might have some sort of effect on there. I got even a little bit of a psychedelic almost kind of feel or sound from it. This is,
shoegazery.
A bit shoegazery maybe, but you know, it kind of chugs along a bit, and you know, it does pick up a little bit towards the end, but I think it takes it to get to sort of to the you know, the guts of the song to, you know, really, you know, get your interest in.
So the song starts with Dougie's drums, and it's that real 90s mid 90s sound, miking, like I call it the Primus sort of sound, where it's like Marty from the Gurge, yeah? Early Gurge, like the snare sounds different, or piccolo pickups, whatever they have. I only listened to the original one a few times. I said, punky guitars, good clean tone, sounds a bit like early church songs, particularly the first album, Skins and Hearts, yep. But it's obviously a year or two before the church's first album.
Yeah. No, I really like the original. It's, you know, I hadn't heard it before, but it's, really, really cool track. And, they're a bit more stripped back into the, I think we get to the choruses, and I think the solo, I think, is the interesting part of this song.
Mm. You mean the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, that lead break sort of thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I think that piece alone makes the song. I think that's kind of made me feel like, oh, finally, this is kind of the quirky, cool, original fauve sort of sound that I've been wanting to have, rather than this just really kind of chugging, straight played kind of song. So, yeah, I think when it hits that part, that the song really comes into its own.
I agree. It's something I look out for when the song's played. And in the original, at the end, they just go back to repeating the first verse, unlock the door and light the fire.
Yeah, I think if the rest of the song had some of that sort of magic that the solo, that lead break has, I think it kind of would lift it all, because, that I think stands out to me quite a lot compared to the rest of the song.
Agreed. It's also got some of Coxie's little wah-wah after the just doctor or whoever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then after that, they go back to the don't worry, it's all right, you know, bit, it's okay, dee-dee, and it actually reminded me of like a Blur type song. Did that echo at you at all? I'm listening. I'm like, it sounds like a Blur song. Just the end bit. Don't worry when he does Coxie harmonizes with himself.
Oh yeah.
Like it could an album track off Rubbish or something like that. Yeah, a bit Britpop.
I think maybe he's echoing some of the accent of the way the original sung as well, because the original's got that kind of, you know, faux British sort of accent to it. So he might be channeling a bit of that.
Very much. So. Anything else to say about the music before we move on to lyrics?
Yeah, I think the outro, it just kind of, they just do the main riff or the main sort of chorus as it fades out. And I was listening to that compared to the original, and the original finishes so much more strongly, I think. You know, it's really punchy at the end, and you kind of like drives the point home. But, you know, on the Fauves one, I think they just do just the one chord to round off the whatever key they're in, and there you go. There's the end of the song.
Underwhelming, is that what you're saying?
Look, I think it reminded me a little bit of Surf City Limits with, you know, at the end it's just, and they kind of round it off just really sort of nicely and, you know, ultra simply with just that one chord to round it off and then that's it.
Or Dwarf on Dwarf sort of fades out on the single as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right as well, yep. So yeah, it made me think of that as well. But yeah, it kind of just fizzles out a little bit.
I've listened to a lot of Beatles podcasts and music casts in general, and it's so funny how some people have these firm rules, like you shouldn't fade out on a song. It's a cheapskate way, and you should end abruptly. And then other people say the reverse. And yeah. Then some people say you should end the album on a strong song, but then even Doctor says you tend to bury the crap songs at the end. So there's all these rules, that, like Vegemite in the fridge or not, that everyone has, you know.
Definitely not in the fridge. But
although the label does say so. Call in to Go 104 if you've got an opinion. I don't really think there's any hard and fast rules.
No, definitely not. But
maybe would you have liked Coxie to go sort of spoken word, like, hey, baby, I'm coming home or something? Would that have made it a bit better? It's all right, sugar. Oh.
I think they needed to keep the energy up after that lead break and, maybe rock it out towards the end.
Yeah.
Just, sort of rock it out and sort of drive it home. I think it would have kept the energy going a bit.
Certainly when we were starting bands that we were really into, so the indie guitar bands were around. REM were huge for us. The Smiths, Sonic Youth were a very big influence for us, particularly with their alternate tunings. So, yeah, bands like that, I suppose even bands like the Violent Femmes were an inspiration just in their kind of the DIY lo-fi vibe that they gave off. Off the top of my head, they'd be the kind of big ones I'd name. Not sure.
Should we move on to lyrics?
Yeah, sure.
Which, of course, aren't that important for our purposes because they're not Coxies. There are a few little differences, of course. You probably picked them up. Let's go through the Foes version. Unlock the door and light the fire. So where does your mind go to with that, Jared? Unlock the door.
And he's fire, it's hot. He's looking for some passion.
Very much. But don't you think, unlock the door, come through my window, find me lying. Good time's coming, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe he buried that subliminally, whatever the word is, for a little bit. My head is filled with sweet desire. Slip into something comfortable, as we mentioned. So going the minor chord down. Now you don't have to fly solo. You don't have to eat or sleep alone. I'm making my way home to you. And all those lyrics, I think, are the same as the original, aren't they? Those particular ones.
I think so. Yeah, those ones of what I picked up.
Coming home is such a generic sort of blues type imagery, isn't it? Like, I'm coming home or not, there's heaps of those songs. There's the song Going Back Home, the Dr. Feelgood song. Well, that's 70s Britpop, the pub rock song.
Yeah, right. Or even Leaving Home, Jebediah. I mean, I know that's going the other direction, but.
Jebs, yep. Then, don't worry, it's okay. I'll be coming home to see you today. Now, you might have noticed in the original, it's don't worry, it's all right. I'm coming home to see you tonight. So he's changed the night in the original to the day to make it less sexy, maybe? Make it more wholesome? I don't know. Coxie censored that?
He's a busy man. That's when he's available.
Mm-hmm. Just telephoned ahead to say this boy of yours is A-okay. So I'm coming home, don't worry. Person knocking on the door is going to be me. Light the fire, it's winter.
Yeah. I know here that it's not written by the Foves, but, looking at it from sort of their point of view, I thought it could maybe represent something that's, desired or pined for, or maybe that they don't have that it's a song talking about what they wish they could have.
Yeah. Pointedly, it's Coxie singing it. It's not not Doctor who had his girlfriend for life, even at that time.
Yeah.
Mm. Then Coxie totally gets rid of the original too many weeks I've had to hide, my face is a torn inside. And he gets a bit meta. Things have changed since I left you. Quit my job and started anew. Joined the Radiators too.
Yeah.
So referencing the band he's covered. Doesn't that totally undermine the other lyrics? Like, I've left you, but now I'm coming back? Is that what he's toying with?
To start.
We've broken up, but the rest of the lyrics about coming back to you, I don't know.
I'm not too sure. He's also joined the Radiators, so seems like he's got to straighten out his priorities, I think.
So that's pretty much the lyrics, isn't it? Except for the don't worry, it's okay. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, obviously the lyrics are very simple. You know, there's not that much that's, you know, abstract, or I think it's just very, you know, obviously describing, you know, a desire or intention to want to come home. They, you know, they want to be depended on. You know, they've got burning desire. They know what they want to do when they come home. So it's nothing too, yeah, it's nothing too deep. But I think that totally fits the original song as it is, because it is that punky sort of song. You know, it's simple, straight lyrics, you know, it's with passion. It's a simple, you know, chord structures and the way it's played. So,
very much, yeah.
You know, and that's why it obviously doesn't sound like a folk song. It's written by someone else. But yeah, it definitely makes sense, I think, in a punk context.
Like those songs they covered on Glory Box, where they sort of like cut out half the lyrics. They've done the same here again. But yeah, it's a fine song. I'd never, like I said, never really listened to it much. And when I think of this single, I just think, oh, it's the covers. Because every song on this album's a cover, all the B-sides. Even Rising Blow is a cover of an earlier Fove song. It's never been my favourite single as a whole.
Yeah, I could see why. Yeah. And like, well, it was a great exercise for myself to be able to listen to an older Fove song I hadn't heard before. You know, yeah, it's maybe that's why I haven't heard of it before, because it maybe doesn't quite have the spark of some of their others. But yeah, no, it was really great to hear it anyway.
Yeah. Well, Jared, before we go, tell us a little bit about your Fove's journey. When did you jump on board? When did you first see them live? All those sort of things. Do you remember hearing them on? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, first hearing the Fove's. It was my friend in school. He introduced me to them. Even his dad was a bit of a fan as well. So around his place one day, and his dad had Surf City Limits playing, and that was the first Fove song that I heard. And
that was my first single that I bought too. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Well, and you know, from hearing that, and you know, then the rest of the Lazy Highways album, that kind of is what got me hooked. And it was, I think that was similar time to when Dogs Are the Best People was getting played on Triple J. And, you know, I was listening, I was in early high school, and, you know, I was hearing Dogs Are the Best People at the same time as I'd actually discovered the previous album. So, you know, just putting those two and two together is what sort of got me hooked. And, you know, it wasn't long before I was, you know, going to the CD shops and flicking through, you know, the CD, seeing what I could find, you know, under F. And I bought The Young Need Discipline.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. And I just thought, I've got no idea what this is, but hey, it's the Fove's, and, you know, there's these things that I like, so let's just see what this is. And it was, you know, quite different. But you know, many family holidays in the car, you know, with the Discman in the back, I had The Young Need Discipline playing over and over and over. So I got, hooked through that as well. So that's kind of, was my introduction to the Fove's, and, you know, continued through, you know, then, you know, buying subsequent albums of, you know, Thousand Yard Stare and Footage Missing. And so, yeah, I continued my Fove's journey, you know, through a lot of those albums. And it actually wasn't the first time I'd seen them. It was not until the Driveway Heart Attack tour.
Oh, wow. What venue in Adelaide?
That was at the Gov. The Governor cool. Hindmarsh, where they played just recently. So yeah, same venue, and it just seemed that for that whole time from getting into them, I do actually remember them coming to Adelaide and playing, and I had some other trip away somewhere booked, and I think that happened a couple of times, and I just had this run of bad luck that I've just not been available at all every time they've come here. But yeah, saw them for Driveway Heart Attack tour and the most recent one as well. So. That's been great to finally see them.
Does Governor Hindmarsh do they do covers during the week, or is it what sort of venue is it? Is it a nice one? Do people just go there for a beer garden type thing, or is it music?
Yeah,
only,
it's probably one of the best live music venues in Adelaide, which is a big call. It's a pub, no pokies, and they've got a huge music area out the back, you know, stage, and which flows out to a beer garden, and you know, we get a lot of acts that come to Adelaide. You know, if they're not doing, you know, the biggest premier venues, you know, like what we call the entertainment centre, a lot of the time they'll still play at the Governor Hindmarsh, even though technically it is, as you say, just a pub, but its reputation for live music is you know, got so much history. It's a really, really great venue. Yeah, the Governor Hindmarsh is a mainstay of live music in Adelaide for sure.
Do you remember where you bought Discipline? Was it just at JB, or was it, you want to shout out some indie record bar that you bought it from? Was it on Hindley Street?
Yeah, it most likely was near Hindley Street. On Rundle Street, we used to have this really great old school record store called Big Star Records. And Big Star. And
I guess.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. And, you know, that they were one of the last old school record stores, CD stores that, you know, were completely independent. And, you know, they've just got a whole different vibe to, you know, whether it be, you know, Sanity or something like that. And yeah, I reckon most likely it would have been in there that I would bought Young Need Discipline.
When did they disappear? Yeah, when did they go?
Oh, when did they go? Yeah, a number of years ago now. It's hard to say. I can't quite recall. It's been a while since I've actually been down that way. But, yeah, it could be 5-10 years ago.
Two more questions. Discipline fan, like I am?
Yes.
I don't think Discipline gets enough love. You're a fan of Man Lessons? What's your what's your favorite track? It's too hard to pick.
All of them are so good. Look, but Dwarf on Dwarf's just got that cool energy to it that you can't help but just like. But Man Lessons has got the lyrics.
Herding Instinct.
White Boy Needs It, just for something to, you know, with a lot of punch and, you know, grittiness to it.
So
and look, even the driver as you put on the Young Need Discipline, and you know, every time that very first track when that bass comes in for Driver Is You, you're never disappointed, or it's never, oh, not this track again. Like, it's, I think, yeah, every time that whole album just starts, it's such a great intro with that bass and drums.
Yeah. Well, Jared, many thanks for joining us on today's show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks so much for having me. That's been great.
Hopefully we can get you to come on board for a few Lazy Highway tracks.
Yeah, I'd love to. Big fan of Lazy Highways as well. So, hang on, the other albums, you know. but Lazy Highways being one of the first ones I got into, it's one I know quite well. So that'd be great.
It seems you have a very similar story to me, Jared, age-wise and exposure-wise, yeah. But anyway, thanks for joining us, Jared, on the podcast where we talk about the Foves. Join me, Foves.
Thanks, John.
Not everyone does it, the Foves.
Salut, c'est Pius, le seul supporter de Force en Suisse. This is my first impression of the track Coming Home, which was a B-side of Summer in 97. I haven't actually heard this song before, and it sounds very mid-90s grunge to me. Composition, crunchy guitars, vocals, high-pitched snare, they all sound very much of their era. And I can see why it was a B-side. It's a good song, but ultimately not one that really stands out all that much. The best part for me is probably the drumming, which does lift it up a little bit over much of other 90s grunge. The bridge reminds me a bit of La Fin Body with its angular guitar riffs. And it's a good song, but not really a particular highlight. And I can totally see why it ended up as a B-side.
Rock music historian Ian McFarlane described you guys as the archetypical hard-working pub rock band capable of delivering tightly crafted, well-executed, hard-hitting metal pop anthems backed by a playful sense of humour. And I think that might be a key, because you guys tour consistently and you've played non-stop. I think you'd have to have a sense of humour working as long and as hard together as you guys have.
Well, yeah, let me say we love that Ian McFarlane's rap. How good's that?
Yeah, right.
We'll accept that. But, you've got to have a sense of humour, and we try and keep it sort of light and bright, and we never get too heavy into politics or anything like that or what's going on. You know, if there's big stories of the day, we try and lighten them up a little bit, or, you know, things like that. We talk to the crowd a bit during the show, but we don't preach. We keep it all sort of light and bright and breezy, you know, and let the songs and the music do all the work for us, you know?
Yeah. Well, clearly the band's got a sense of humour with the... Your probably most famous or infamous song that you wrote, Gimme Head, that's a very, very humorous song. Do you think in hindsight it's been good or bad? Is it all good or bad?
Bit of both, exactly. Yeah. Right, Cheryl. You know, it's been a double-edged sword, as I always say. great on one side because it's at least people know us for one song, but then the bad side is people know us for one song. They judge the whole act on that and don't take us seriously and just think we're sort of, you know, well, we wrote a smutty ditty and, you know, that's about it. But I realise that we've done 7 or 8 albums, recorded over 100 songs of, you know, all sorts of styles and variations and that. And to be judged on that one song, it's held us back and probably done more harm than good. But when we play it live, it just goes over so great. And people just rush to the floor and the cameras come out and it's like, oh, here we go. If the gig hadn't been working up to that point, then it kicks off at that point. You know, trying to outdo each other back then, and it was just incredible times. But now, like, if you get 2 gigs in a row, now you call it a bloody tour.
Yeah. Your band's been described as boogie rock, and nobody said it was by the 90s, it was outmoded. But James Cockington said part of your appeal is that you refuse to change your style. So like a 78 gig, like a gig in 1978 and a gig 20 years later in 1998, strangely very similar.
More run on the bass, but we keep them true to the records and we haven't had any complaints. People love it. And yeah. The odd person go, oh, I miss the keyboards, but not many. So yeah, we're very gratified with that. We put out a whole range of stuff during the 90s as well. Just the 4-piece band and very heavy, you know, heaviest sort of music. And it sort of went okay, but it's not really what people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear it a bit lighter, and, you know, just the phase we were going through.
Yeah, nostalgia is a big thing, and we do love that we can go and we can hear the songs that we grew up with, the songs that we love, and still see them being played live. As a punter, we just love that.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of feedback through our Facebook page and that, and glowing reports all the time, and people love us. That's just really, really gratifying, and we get so much encouragement from our loyal supporters. You know, it's just incredible. That's what keeps us going, I guess.
Yeah.
We kept reading, oh, these guys are shit, you know, they're, you know, going off. You know what I mean? You'd have to take it on board and go, oh, okay. But we seem to be kicking goals all the time, and when we come back to the place we haven't played for a long time, they go, oh, just as good, or they're better than ever, better than... Yeah, and we go, oh, that's okay. You know what I mean? So we'll just keep going until they start booing us off stage, I guess.
But hang on. What have you been listening to, music-wise?
No, you're not going to make fun of my bloody golden oldie.
Come on, give us something.
I haven't even had the gramophone on.
So come on, what's getting a spin?
Oh, you'll laugh. Do you remember Weezer?
Oh, Weezer, sure.
Yes,
so
that's right.
The early stuff, what was the second album?
No, I know everyone goes on about Pinkerton, don't they? But
not for you?
No, I actually prefer the one after it, the Green album.
Oh, yeah.
It's short and sharp. They don't muck about.
No.
Photograph, hash pipe, knock down, drag out. It's just get in, get out. Pure power pop, and everything since then is a blur. I have got some great bootlegs of when they did the Goat Punishment shows.
Oh, right,
at the Troubadour.
Not advertised.
Yeah, that's right.
You like that?
That's good stuff.
It's 1982. I'm flying in a single-wing Cessna across the Australian rock landscape. I got my topographical map out. I'm looking at the contours, the Australian rock landscape. I'm seeing Daryl Cotton, Dave Warner, Doug Parkinson, the Dewgites, Dutch Tilders, the Goanna Band, John English, Jimmy and the Boys, Jojo Zepp and the Falcons, Kevin Borich Express, La Femme, Little Heroes, Mark Hunter Band, Mio 245, remember them, Mick Peeling and the Ideals, Mike Rudd and the Heaters, the Models, Moving Pictures, the Numbers, Paul Kelly and the Dots, Peter Couples Band. Looks like we got ourselves some engine trouble. We're in for a rough landing. There they are, the Radiators. They're lining the runway with guide lights. The Radiators, they're coming to our rescue. Unlock the door and light the fire. My head is filled with sweet desire. Slip into something comfortable. No, you don't have to fly so
Don't worry, babe.